Hey, DBT listeners, this is Steph Edsel, your host for the DBT Weekly Podcast. So I totally made a mistake last week. I thought we were moving on to check the facts this week, but I was mistaken. This week, we still have to talk about some things before we get to that lovely skill. Forgive me, please. I feel so terrible. I was all excited, and when I turned to the session of emotion regulation we were working on, it was not check the facts. That is okay. Let's just go ahead and talk about observing, describing, and naming emotions, and changing your emotional responses. Were any of you noticing vulnerabilities throughout the week? Any skills use to change some of the biological responses to your emotion? We have been talking about skills since April of this year. And I would hope that you have a toolbox of things that work for you, depending on the situation. So back to this module. I will try to remind you nearly every single episode of this module about the function of emotion. I want to really drive it home, in case you haven't noticed, what they actually do. Emotions motivate and organize us for action, communicate to ourselves, and communicate to others. Remember that emotions are complex, automatic, sudden, self-perpetuating, universal, and have components. They cannot be changed directly. That's something we went deeper into last episode. I will upload an actual model of emotions to the Facebook page this week on the DBT Center of Utah. We are located in Salt Lake City. Not sure if that helps anyone locate the page. These worksheets can all be downloaded when the workbook is purchased. The model of emotions is called Emotion Regulation Worksheet 4. We really like to review it a little bit so you all feel confident with emotion regulation. So let's discuss why we would observe and describe emotions. Now that we have an idea of how emotions are made and what happens when they are experienced. The first reason is to improve the ability to regulate emotions. That's the goal of this module. It's one of the goals of DBT itself. Research says that in processing an emotional experience, it is more effective to be very specific about the emotion and emotional events than to try and regulate the emotion in overly general or non-specific ways. For example, anxiety is reduced by observing and describing the specific fear-producing cues or signals in contrast to general impressions regarding cues prompting fear and anxiety. The second reason is to learn to be separate from emotions. By learning to observe your emotions, you learn to be separate from them and not be identified with them. You will learn to control your emotional responses. You must be separate from your emotions so that you can think and use coping strategies. Change the way you talk about your emotions. Rather than say, "I am angry," or "I am scared," try saying, "I feel angry," "I feel scared." My favorite way to describe emotions is to say, "I am noticing said emotion." We want to own our stuff, just not take it on in the way that it personifies us and shapes who we are. The next reason will seem counterintuitive to what I just said. To learn to be at one with emotions. Even though it's important to learn to be separate from emotions, as previously discussed, it's also important to be one with your emotions, in the sense that you identify them as part of yourself and not something outside of yourself. The examples in our slides say, a rider is one with a horse to the extent that he or she can control the horse or is working with the horse. If the rider is separate and fighting the horse will fight back, and the rider cannot control it smoothly. On the other hand, if the rider is mindless, so to speak, and has not its own separate identity from the horse, he or she will cling to the horse for dear life, and the horse will assume all control. Does that make sense? That's kind of why I said be the owner of your emotions. They belong to you, but they don't define you or your worth. So the steps in observing and describing emotions will take us to a super incredible handout, in my opinion. Handout 6, ways to describe emotions. I call it the emotion dictionary. If you guys can get a hold of a workbook with the handouts, it will really change your life. The emotions on this handout are grouped in families, and each emotion family has one page describing its characteristics. You can figure out what your emotion is by matching events and your responses to sets of events and responses. I'll give an example of an emotion and some of the other words we may use and the experiences that go along with it. So if you can't identify your own emotion, either a current emotion or a past emotion, you can figure it out by systematically reviewing each emotion component or part and write it down. When components or parts are all put together and you are able to see your responses, it can be much easier to figure out your emotion. So on this handout that I'm talking about, I'll discuss the emotion of anger. Some other words for this emotion include aggravation, agitation, annoyance, ferocity, frustration, fury, rage, irritation, vengefulness. Some prompting events to evoke anger are having an important goal blocked, you or someone you care about being attacked, losing power status or respect, not having things turn out as expected, physical or emotional pain. All of those, in my opinion, fit into having goals being blocked, which is the actual definition of anger. Interpretations of events that prompt feelings of anger include believing that you have been treated unfairly, blaming, believing that things should be different than they are, rigidly thinking, I'm right, judging that the situation is illegitimate or wrong, or ruminating about the event that set off the anger in the first place. The biological changes typically include muscles tightening, teeth clamping together, hands clenching, feeling your face get hot or your body, feeling like you're going to explode, being unable to stop tears, wanting to hit someone, bang the wall, throw something, blow up, also wanting to hurt someone. The expressions and actions of anger can look like physically or verbally attacking, making aggressive or threatening gestures, pounding, throwing things, breaking things, walking heavily, stomping, slamming doors, walking out, using a loud, quarrelsome, or sarcastic voice, using obscenities or swearing, criticizing or complaining, clenching hands or fists, frowning, not smiling or having a mean expression, crying, grinning, a red or flushed face. That's one of my anger signs. My face flushes. The after effects include narrowing of attention, attending only to the situation that's making you angry, ruminating about the situation making you angry or situations in the past, imagining future situations that will make you angry, depersonalization, dissociative experiences, or numbness. Have you ever been so pissed that you just kind of check out and you weren't there mentally? Anger can trigger folks to dissociate or shut down. It's all dependent on your own experiences and being super aware of what happens when you get angry or when you experience other emotions. Now that we've talked about one of the emotions from our trusty dusty emotion dictionary, let's get back to the steps in observing and describing emotion. Last week, we talked about the model of emotions that can be located in the workbook. Like I said, it's Emotion Regulation Handout 4, and it looks like a fun diagram with squares and circles and rectangles. Each shape is a different step and has different information in it as we go along with our emotion. We would want to be learning about prompting events. Remember, these are typical prompting events that set off the emotions. Events that occurred right before the emotion started. And don't forget that the story of what led up to the event goes under the vulnerability factor section, which are unique to each human being and they are not included in the emotion dictionary, handout 6. Moving on to interpretations of events that prompt emotion. These are the typical interpretations, thoughts, and assumptions about the event that prompt the emotion. Then we have biological events. The typical biological changes and experiences, feelings, body sensations, and action urges. Reminder to focus on body changes that you sense, or can sense if you pay close attention. Next are the expressions and actions. Remember those? They are typical facial expressions, body language, verbal communications, which is talking, and actions associated with specific emotions. A primary function of emotion is to produce or bring out actions necessary to solve specific problems. And finally, the after effects of emotions. Those are what happens to your mind, body, and your emotions after you first experience that first emotion starting. The hope is that by that point, you'll have named the emotion, the first one that caused the issue in the first place. There are some factors that interfere with observing and describing emotion. Oh, but of course, right? Those pesky secondary emotions, the emotional reactions to emotions. Geez, how many times can I say emotions in one sentence? The next factor is ambivalence, more than one emotional reaction to the same event. You may often experience two or more emotions at almost the exact same moment. This can be wildly confusing for sure. Do not despair. You'll want to get a hold of this worksheet number 4 to figure out each emotion experienced. And don't worry about which is primary or secondary before completing the worksheet. It's usually easier to tell which comes first after writing it all out. So the skills we will learn during the module include check the facts, which is changing beliefs and assumptions about a situation to fit the facts. This can help you change your emotional reactions to it. This does require that you first check out the facts. Checking the facts is a basic strategy in cognitive therapy and in many other forms of therapy. Next, we have opposite action. When emotions do not fit the facts and knowing the facts doesn't change your emotion, then taking action opposite to your emotions all the way, repeatedly, will change your emotional reactions. This is similar to the saying, if you fall off a horse, get right back on. Then there is problem solving. When your emotions fit the facts of the situation and you want to change your emotions, then the situation is the problem. Solving problems will reduce the frequency of unwanted or negative emotions. Lastly, my favorite, the yes, but barrier to changing emotions. Doing what is necessary to change emotional responses requires effort, willingness, and an ability to determine what is in your own best interest. Yes, this can be super difficult. Yes, but is a typical response when emotional intensity is high and changing the emotions is experienced as admitting that your own feelings are invalid. The problem is that yes, but does not lead to feeling better or to solving emotional problems. We call it the yeah, buts. We kind of laugh about it, but it's really true. When we are pushing our clients to examine some of their issues or situations and how to solve them, sometimes the yeah, but gets in the way. I do remember when I was working primarily in substance abuse, I would hear this one a lot. And it reminds me of the phrase terminally unique, meaning, allow me to get dramatic here, there's no way this problem can be solved. Yeah, but no. Lastly, on changing emotional responses, there are only 5 possible responses to any problem. You can solve the problem by changing the situation or by leaving the situation. You can change your emotional reaction to the situation so that painful emotions are reduced even though the problem remains. You can radically accept the situation, acknowledge the situation can't be helped, and you can't change how you feel either. Yet, completely and willingly accepting this state of affairs can give you a sense of freedom and reduce your suffering. You can also stay miserable or make things worse. Think about those options. Marcia says, if you can solve the problem, solve the damn problem. This week, think about observing and describing emotions. Use your mindfulness skills to try and really get in touch with those emotions. I know, scary, huh? I mean, for at least some of you. This is one of the many problems experienced with certain mental health issues, not being able to regulate emotions or even wanting to. Thanks for being here this time. Thanks for listening to me and trying the skills. I appreciate everyone out there listening and trying to make a change in their life despite the circumstances, against all odds. I can't even begin to imagine how hard you're working. Keep it up. Don't ever give up. It's worth it in the end. We will meet again and finally get to check the facts. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, please email me at uofudbt@gmail.com, and I am still working on transcripts. Thanks for being here. Until next time.